All right, we're holding on Gimel Amud Bey is about the middle of the Amud, line begins Mitana. Okay. Yesterday we discussed the question, if you have two lavim and there's only one kares, do they count as separate lavim as far as bringing a separate hafetz to each one? We gave the example of duplicating the Shemana Mishcha and smearing it on a person's skin, where it only says one kares at the end, but it says a separate lav for each one. And we said, yes, there is a separate hafetz for each one. So now...
One kares. So it means
there's a separate hafetz, even though it only has one kares, but there's a separate hafetz for each one for the separate lav. So Bominei Rav Yirmiyah min Rav Zeira, so Rav Yirmiyah asks Rav Zeira, what about the other way around? Beis Kristus v'lav echad mahu. What about if you have twice the Torah says something is chayav kares, but there's only one lav? But then what? So what would be the din then? One chatas or two? If he does it for shoyg, Amrlei, so Rav Zeira answers shoychet behela kamet. Evidently, you must be talking about the case of where a person shechs a korban and offers it outside the mishmash. Well, apparently there's no other case. I mean, the truth is that there is another case involving pigul and noiser or something. But for various reasons that doesn't fall into the category over here. So he says you must be asking about shoshet behela. Well, namely. The Torah tells us in Parashas Achrimos that you're not allowed to bring korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash. It also tells us in this week's Parasha, in Parashas Ra'e, again it says that you're not, but it only mentions one time kares, namely in Parashas Achrimos. And we understand, therefore, that the kares applies to both of them. But the question is, yeah.
And you say both of them, what do you mean?
For and for being malo, if a person shechts a korban outside the Azara, or if a person burns a korban outside the Azara. Actually, you're thinking it's considered only one lav. He thought that both of them are only covered under one. It says twice in Achrimos. It says twice Kodesh. And then you have, in Parashat Re'e, in this week's Parashah, it says, Alav Hisham Alacham Kentala Elisefa. So he thought that, Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was asking the question, thought that when it says in Parashat Achrimos about not shechting, that's something else. That's talking about that if a person shechts for Avodah Zarah, that he's chayiv. So therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah thought, you only have one lav, but twice it says Kares. So Rabbi Zeres,
did you mention the case of
Shechit? He thought that Shechita and Hela are both covered under the same lav. Would mean that you're not allowed to shech them and that you're not allowed to offer them. And then twice in Parshas Achrimos, it says kores about it. So Rav Zeira answers him, "Tani shnei lavin," who actually it is two separate lavin. And you have two different ways of knowing how do you know that shchita and halal are separately osir? So one possibility is ilaman de gamam gzera shava. One possibility is in the Gemara in Zvachim that it learns it from a gzera shava, namely nemar kan havav and nemar lahalan havav. In one pasuk it says val pesach oyel moed lo hevi. A few pesukim later it says val pesach oyel moed lo yivienu. So one's talking about shchita, one's talking about halah. Each one it mentions kares by. And the point is, therefore, that we learn by the Gzeira Shava that both of them, that each of them is a separate lav for, just like each of them is a separate kares for. So that's what Gzeira is telling him. You should know. If you follow the opinion that learns from the Gzeira Shava, namely, and therefore we say malahalam like onash aleim ken hezir, just like when it comes to halah, You have an azhara and you have a punishment. The Torah doesn't punish a person for it unless there's a previous warning. Afkan, the same thing with shchita, lo onash aleim ken hezir, then the Torah is not punishing him with kares unless there's a warning. In that case, then that zera shava amounts to a lav. So therefore, there are two separate lavim. So that's one possibility. Laman de maisi lo behekish, or another possibility in the Gemara in Zvachim, is that we learn it from a hekish, namely that in Parashas Re'e, in this week's Parasha, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Shom tala v'shom taseh, there in the Beis Mikdash you should offer your korbanos, and there you should do. The one talking about offering them, burning them, the other one talking about doing, for example, shechting. Therefore, makash shkita lahala means we have a hekesh between shechting and offering. Mahala lo'onash elim kenizir. Again, hala, we know there's an onash and we know there's an azhara. The Torah tells us you're not allowed to be mala and that there's kores. So therefore, we learn by the hekesh that the same thing is true. Af shkita lo'onash elim kenizir. You don't. You have one or the other. The Gemara explains in Zvachim, you have one opinion that learns it from the Gzer Shava and another opinion that learns it from the Hekish. Because
you still have both.
You have both because each opinion would use the other one's limud for something else. But the point is, in other words, however you do it, whether you're using the Hekish, whether you're using Gzer Shava, either way, you do have a separate Azhara for Shchita and a separate Azhara for Halach. So therefore, if Zeta tells Rabbi Yemiya, your premise that you only have one lav, because it says, is incorrect. No matter how you look at it, you have two lavim, and each one has its own kares. So of course you're bringing a separate chata separately.
Either
by the Zeta Shava or the Hekish. It gives you... That's not... Okay, you have to relearn the Gemara in Zvachim and see why you need both. But the point is that we know clearly the Torah says that a person is not allowed to be mala b'chutz, and if he is, he's chayav kares. And we learn from either the Hekesh or the Gzer Shava that the same is true of Shechet. So each one has its own lab, each one has its own azhara, and naturally, of course, therefore each has its own separate chafas. So Rav Zeira says to the Yemiya, Dilma Beis Misses for lab echad kamer. Maybe what you meant to ask is not a case of two times kares, and only one lav, maybe you actually meant to ask about a case where it says twice Mrs. Bastin, but it only says one lav. Mahi, and what would be that case where you'd have to ask about? That would be Oiv V'yid Oini.
Two Mrs.
Well, what does it mean, two Mrs.? The Torah tells us that if a person does Oiv, or a person does Yid Oini, which are two types of magic, as we're going to discuss soon, then each one a person is high Mrs. for. The Ish Aisha Kiyabem Oiv Oyid Oini Mosu Mosu. So we see there's two separate misses, but you only have one lav because you only have one lav because the Torah says b'hanefesh asher tifneh el ha'ovis ve'el ayid oinim. And actually you have another pasuk that also says you have lo yimotze b'cha shoyel oiv yid oini. So you have on the surface one lav that mentions both oiv and yid oini, but you have when it comes to misses it mentions them separately. So you're asking, therefore, Rabbi Yemiya says, Rabbi Zeira says to Rabbi Yemiya, maybe what you meant to ask is, in that case, if a person did both Oiv and Yidoni, would he bring one Chatas or two? So maybe that's what you're asking about. Amalei, so he tells him, in that case, then actually that is the subject of Machlokas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. The Tanu Gavi Sanhedrin, namely, we learn in Masechta Sanhedrin, we learn a Mishnah, Baal Oiv V'Yidoni. It mentions over there if a person does Oiv magic or Yidoni magic. It's interesting. In and of themselves, they might be considered Avodah Zarah, they might not. I mean, the Torah mentions them as various kinds of magic. The Rambam learns that the underlying reason why magic is Aser is because it's related to Avodah Zarah. The Rambam, in fact, writes, for example, that the people who first came up with Avodah Zarah rituals and whatever would use these kinds of magic practices in order to hoodwink people and make them think that Avodah Zarah is real, and therefore the Torah asks them. The Rambam also famously says, by the way, that none of them have any actual power, which is a point that many other Rishonim and Achronim disagree with the Rambam on. Many Rishonim and Achronim learn, and Alfi Kabbalah also, that just like Hashem created forces of Kedusha in the world, so Lahavdil, Hashem created forces of Truma in the world, and they have certain powers, because Hashem allowed them to have such powers, and therefore there is many Rishonim and many Achronim talk about that, yes, it is possible for magic, for Kishuv, to have real, actual power to accomplish things in the world. However, the fact is, it's also Because Hashem says it's also. The Rambam learns not like that. The Rambam learns, and in fact, the Rambam says very forcefully that if anybody thinks that way, he's not a kofer. The Rambam just says he's like Miklalam Noshim Ba'amei Ha'aretz, like he's a foolish person. He doesn't really understand how the world works and how the Torah works. So he says that no, the point is that magic has no efficacy whatsoever. And therefore, the Torah answers it because the Torah Hashem didn't want that we, a wise and understanding nation, I'm talking with another, should be involved with such shrutim, especially since they were used as a gateway to Avodah Zarah. Anyway, it's a well-known machlokes between the Rambam and most other Rishonim and Achronim. Anyway, the point is that so you have these two types of magic, or even Yidoni. So the Kashalon, so the question is, why Maishna Gabi Skila's Tona Yidoni, the Gabi Krisus Lakona Yidoni? So why is it when it comes to Skila in Masechta Sanhedrin, when it lists all the people who are Chayav Skila, it lists Oiv and Yidoni separately? But the Gabi Krisus Lakona Yidoni, but then in our Mishnah in Krisus, it didn't mention Yidoni at all. It mentioned Baal Oiv, it didn't say anything about Yidoni. Why not? Then the answer is, Rabbi Yochanan says that because they were both said in one lap. In other words, therefore, it comes out that Rabbi Yochanan would be saying, therefore, that when it comes to skila, yes, of course, we have to know if a person did oiv individually, then he's chayav skila. If he did only individually, he's chayav skila. And if he did both of them, of course, he's also getting skila. But when it comes to krisus, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, because they're both included in one lab, therefore, there's only one chassus for the two of them. And remember, we said the whole reason why the Mishnah is giving us a list and giving us a number is to tell us the maximum number of chatois that a person has to bring. Therefore, there's no reason to mention Yidoni because the person's not going to bring an extra chassas. If he did Oiv and he did Yidoni, he's only bringing one chassas anyway. Okay, so the question is...
Did Yidoni separately?
Yes. Rav Yochanan is saying that he's only bringing one chassas. Hoyol Shneim B'Lav Echam Nemru, because they were both said in one lab. Because the Torah says, Lo Yimotze B'cha Ba'al V'Shoyol Oiv V'Yidoni. Or Altifnu Ala Ovis Vela Yidonim, whatever. The point is, you have one loy, al, in the Torah that mentions Ov and Yidonim. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, there's no separate chatos for each one. Therefore, our Mishnah didn't bother to mention Yidonim. So the question is, v'nemi Yidoni v'lanim Baal Ov, in that case, then, if we have our choice to mention Ov or to mention Yidoni, then why specifically did the Mishnah mention Ov? The answer is Kasava. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan will say, Ov, Pasu, Baal Ov. The reason is, because the Torah mentions Ov first, so therefore, our Mishnah had to pick one or the other, so it picked Oiv since it's anyway mentioned in the Pasuk first. So in other words, according to Rav Yochanan, if a person does Oiv by itself, he's high of one chassas. If a person does Yidoni by itself, he's high of one chassas. And if he does both Oiv and Yidoni, then he's also only bringing one chassas. It's only high of one. Right? So why does the Mishnah only mention Oiv and not Yidoni? Because it doesn't need to mention both of them because there aren't two chatois. And it could have mentioned Yidoni just as well. But fine, since Oiv is first in the pasuk, then the Mishnah picked that. On the other hand, Rish Lakish Omer Hoyova in by Meister. On the other hand, Rish Lakish says, you know why our Mishnah does not mention Yidoni? Not because you wouldn't bring a separate carbon for it, but because there's no Meister involved.
Oiv
is a Meister. Which the Gemara is going to point out soon what the Meister is. Okay, so the question is, Rish Lakish my time alay omak Rav Yochanan. So why indeed does Rish Lakish not understand like Rav Yochanan? Why does he say, why would he say that there are separate chatois for each one? I'm going to pop it off, look and hang the missus. The reason is because, yeah, when it comes to missa, the Torah mentions them separately. The Torah mentions, Yisha Yisha Ki Yaben Oiv Oiv Yidoiv. So it mentions specifically, it mentions missa separately by each one. So therefore, Rish Lakish is going to say that the fact that it's distinguished when it comes to Misa is enough to make them separate chatois. Well, therefore, that goes back to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Therefore, so Rabbi Yirmiyah's question about whether there would be one chatos or two chatos depends on this machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Amalach, Chalukah Delav Havi Chalukah. Rabbi Yochanan will tell you no. Only if they're separated in the lavim is a consider only if they're separated when it comes to the lavim is it considered that they're separate and therefore there's a separate and therefore there's a separate chassas for each one. But here, Rapapa had explained why Rish Lakish would not say that. Rav Yochanan would answer that I don't care if it's chalukah misas chalukah de lav habi chalukah chalukah de misa lehabi chalukah. Only if they're divided as far as the lavim, only if it says don't do this and don't do that. Is there a separate chatos for each one? But if it says don't do this and this, and then it says separate mitzvah by each one, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that's not considered chalukah, and therefore there's no separate chatos for it. Okay, fine. So that explains why Rish Lakish does not hold like that. That explains why Rish Lakish does not hold like Rabbi Yochanan, because Rish Lakish would hold that the fact that the choluk remisses is enough to make it choluk in chatos. Okay, but Rabbi Yochanan, my time alay omet Rish Lakish. Why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan agree with Rish Lakish that he's saying that Oriv has a maaseh and Yidoni doesn't? The answer is kasava, because Rabbi Yochanan holds like this: man tana krisus. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah of Krisus? Rabbi Akiva. That would be according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, we discussed before whether it could be according to Rabbi Shmuel or according to Rabbi Akiva. We thought to say it would have to go like Rabbi Shmuel because of the matter of Tzchur, but then we said not necessarily. So the Mishnah can actually go like Rabbi Akiva. And the point is, the Amar Leiber in and Maiseh. Later on in our Perek, when it comes to Megadif, Rabbi Akiva holds that a Megadif still has to bring a Korban, even though there's no Maiseh. So you see, therefore, that Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need a Maiseh. So therefore, so Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, so obviously it doesn't matter whether you only have a Maaseh or not. Rabbi Akiva, who is the Tana of our Mishnah, is still going to hold, you have to bring a Chatas for it. Rish Lakish, okay, so what is Rish Lakish going to answer to that? He would say, Nihi did Rabbi Akiva like boy Maaseh Rabba. Fine, granted, Rabbi Akiva doesn't require there to be a big Maaseh, but Maaseh Zuta, boy, but he does at least require that there should be some kind of Maaseh. So therefore, Baal Oiv my Maaseh is space. So let's ask, how does Oiv work and how does Yidoni work? So it's probably worth reading how the Rambam describes how Oiv and Yidoni take place. So let's see. So he says like this. Let me find it over here. Okay, let's see. I can't find it. Here we go. Okay. So how does Oiv work? But I'm going to describe. Does a person goes and offers certain kinds of incense and holds a stick of hadas in his hand and waves it and then says it quietly or in a whisper various incantations or whatever, and then the one who came to him for the oiv hears like a low voice like coming from underground almost in a whisper. Telling him the future or whatever it is he wants to know. That's Oiv. And then Yidoni. The Rambam describes similarly another kind of Oiv. The person takes a skull and offers incense to it and uses it and does incantations with it. And he hears a voice that sounds like it's coming from under his armpit in a low voice. So those are Oiv. So Oiv involves a mice, because it's burning ktoras and waving around the stick or whatever. On the other hand, Yidoni, that Rambam describes, the person places a bone of a bird called Yidua in his mouth, and then he does various kinds of actions. Sometimes it involves incense, sometimes not, until he falls down like a person who's epileptic, and he starts saying all kinds of things that are going to happen. So the point is, therefore, Oiv involves action. So my Maaseh is, Baal Oiv, my Maaseh is, okay? So what action is there with Baal Oiv? Hakosha, Zroi Oisev, Havi Maaseh. Well, the fact that he's moving or that he's moving his arms or slapping his arms or whatever, or otherwise doing things with his arms, because remember, we're saying that Oiv involves that the sound, the voice comes out sounding like from under his armpit. So he has to be doing something with his arms, especially according to the Rambam, remember that the whole thing doesn't really happen and doesn't actually cause any demonic forces or whatever to actually happen. He's doing some kind of sleight of hand and making people think that he's doing something magical. So how is he actually making a voice coming out from under his armpit? He's doing something with his arms. He's moving them in a certain way or whatever. It depends. You ever heard of people make armpit noises? Yeah. Anyway. So that can be considered a mice. Yeah. So that can be considered a mice. What about Megadif, my Maaseh Isbe? Okay, what about Megadif? Again, if you're telling me Rabbi Akiva requires a Maaseh Zuta, okay, well, Megadif, you have Akima Sfasev Havi Maaseh. Fine, the fact that he's my Maaseh Isbe, Akima Sfasev Havi Maaseh, the fact that he's moving his lips amounts to a Maaseh. In other words, as opposed to Yidoni, now it's true Yidoni initially involves a Maaseh, because we're saying he puts the bone into his mouth, but when he puts the bone into his mouth, at that point, he's not doing the action of Yidoni yet. That happens only later on. So therefore, it comes out. There's no ma'aseh in yidoyos. On the other hand, there is a ma'aseh, a minor ma'aseh, but still a ma'aseh when it comes to oiv and when it comes to megadim. So therefore, the Shlokish says, that's why our Mishnah mentions only oiv and does not mention yidoyos. Not like Rabbi Yochanan, because it could have equally well mentioned one or the other, and it just picked the first one in the pasuk. But because oiv involves some kind of ma'aseh, even if it's only a ma'aseh zuta, whereas yidoyos does not. Igmar says, okay, so now we think that we the Bnei HaYeshiva, thought to begin with, that as part of the discussion, if HaKoshet Zra'osev had a Maiseh Zutta, we're saying that this moving or slapping or whatever his arms is considered a Maiseh, is considered a Maiseh Zutta, you would argue Afilu Rabbanan, that that would be even according to the Rabbanan. Now, the problem with that is Maisvi. We have a contradiction, because a Mishnah in Sanhedrin tells us, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, a person is chayev, skila, or chatas, or what have you, only if there was something that involved a maisa, to venture zibeach the kitter of nisach lishtakla. For example, he shechted a korban to Avodah Zarah, or he burnt something in honor of Avodah Zarah, or he poured a libation, or he bowed, the kashalon. So now, when we learn that, we have a question. I can understand Zibeach and Kitcher and Nisach, of course, are Maisin, but how is Hishtachavah? Hishtachavah lets be Maisa. On the face of it, Hishtachavah, there's not really much of an action in it. It's not really. I mean, Maisa would involve that he's doing something, then he's not just that he's falling down onto the ground. So, V'omer Rishlokish, Halmani Rabbi Akiva. And Rishlokish says that would only be a point to Rabbi Akiva. Da'amu Loibain and Maisa, who says you don't need a Maisa at all. So you're telling me before that Rabbi Akiva requires Maiseh Zutta. Now you're saying Rish Lakish says you don't need a Maiseh at all according to him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Tamei Rabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you can even make it work according to the Rabbanan, this Braisa that mentions Yishtachavah, because Kfifas Kemaseh has a Maiseh. Bowing down, bowing at the waist or whatever is considered a Maiseh. Well, Miklal, Miklal, Svirle, Rish Lakish, Alibid Rabbanan, Kfifas Kemaseh, Rabbanan, Lai Have a Maiseh. So it comes out that Rish Lakish would say that the Rabbanan would hold that Kfifas Kemaseh, that bending down, is not considered a Maiseh. So the question is, so if you're telling me that the Rabbanan like having Maiseh, if you're telling me that Rish Lakish's understanding of the Chachamim is that even bowing down is not considered a Maiseh, HaKoshas Zra'osev having Maiseh, how would just moving his arms be considered a Maiseh?
If bowing is not,
how is moving his arms or banging his arms or whatever? Why would banging his arms or whatever be or moving his arms or whatever in a certain way? Why would that be more of a Maiseh than bowing down his whole body? No, so the answer is, so we have to answer that our assumption was incorrect. We thought that when we said HaKoshas Ra'osev HaBi Maiseh Zuta, that Rish Lakish meant even according to the Chachamim. No, the Eloki Ka'omer Rish Lakish HaKoshas Ra'osev HaBi Maiseh Zuta. When is Rish Lakish saying that this HaKoshas Ra'osev is considered a small Maiseh? That is only a Libid Rav Akiva. Only according to Rav Akiva is that considered a Maiseh. Avol Rabbanan, lo yave Maiseh. According to the Rabbanan, indeed it wouldn't. And according to the Rabbanan, therefore, a person is not going to be bringing a chatas for yidoyin. Because there's no Maiseh. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, Yihochi amai toni yotim agadav shein be Maiseh. In that case, then why in the Mishnah, who is the Chachamim, why is he saying that Megadif is excluded because there's no Maiseh and therefore you don't bring a chatas for it? According to that, Nisni Yotze Megadif or Baal Oiv. Then it should mention Megadif and Baal Oiv, that you don't bring a chatas for either one. Because according to the Chachamim, there's no Maiseh involved in Megadif, because Akima Svasav, we're not considering a Maiseh. It's not considered a big enough Maiseh. And the same thing also Baal Oiv, where the only Maiseh involved is waving his arms. Then you say, and that's not considered a Maiseh either. So the Mishnah should have said, or Meir should say in the Mishnah, that Megadif and Baal Oiv are excluded. The answer is, okay, Chodim Itar Tikasani. Okay, the Mishnah is mentioning only one out of two. You're right. The Chachamim would, in fact, say that a person is not bringing a Chatas for doing Oiv the Shoyu either, because no Maiseh. The Mishnah mentioned Megadif. We're meant to understand that the same thing would apply to Oiv. Okay, so the question is, Velisni Baal Oiv, Velo Listni Megadif. In that case, then, why is he mentioning Megadif as being the exception? Again, if he has a choice between mentioning the Gadif and mentioning Oiv, He might as well mention Barlow. Why mention McDavid?
Well, if he was mentioning Barlow, he would say why he doesn't mention
McDavid. Because at this point, we think there's a bigger chiddush in mentioning Oiv. Oiv is waving around his arm. That's on the face of it. There's a bigger mice than just speaking. So let him say Barlow, and we would understand how much more so McDavid. The answer is just the opposite. McDavid is strictly. Yes, but he has a reason why he needs to mention McDavid. There is a chiddush in it. Because Sakhar Adachamina, you would think otherwise like this. Because when it talks about Megadif, so what the context is like this. The pasuk mentions if a person is over an avodah b'shogeg, then they bring a chatas. Then it continues if a person worships avodah zarah b'shogeg, then you have or actually if it's tzibur worship avodah zarah b'shogeg, whatever. So and then after that it continues v'anefesh shetafta b'yad rama, that a person acts high-handedly and deliberately against Hashem. Then the expression is Hashem who megadif, that he's blaspheming Hashem, v'nichrasa, therefore he's cut off. So the point is, it mentions kores b'mkoim korban. So what's the context over there? It's saying that if a person is over b'shogeg, then he's bringing a korban. And then it says megadif is high of kores. So in other words, it amounts to the Torah is saying that kores for a megadif is instead of you would have expected it to say if a person is megadif, he should be high of a korban. And instead of saying he's getting kores. So maybe Ema Modulay Rabbi Akiva, maybe therefore the mayor is going to agree with Rabbi Akiva that even though there's no Maiseh, then he's getting Kores, and that automatically would mean after all that he's high of a carbon. Even though there's no Maiseh, maybe Zeres HaKosov, that in that. So that's the meaning. Kamash Malan Deloy. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to tell us that nevertheless, Reb Meir does not say that, and he still says Megadif, there's no Maiseh, therefore no Korban.
You would have thought otherwise
he would say that the Torah is telling us that Megadif is high of a Korban, even though there's no Maiseh. Because the Torah mentioned Megadif right after mentioning the cases where a person is bringing a Chatas. And it mentions the Korban, that he's high if he did it for Maiseh. So you would think the rules of chatas apply to a megadif, even though there's no ma'aseh. And therefore, the bigger chiddush is to mention that he says that there's no chatas by megadif. So he does also hold there's no ma'aseh,
does bring a chatas, even if there's no ma'aseh.
That's the point. The fact is, we would have thought that a mayor would say you do bring a chatas on the basis of that juxtaposition in the psukim. And therefore, a mayor wants to tell us that no. He holds that nevertheless, megadif does not bring a chatas if he did it for shogeg. Once we know that, though, we also, because no ma'aseh, once we know that, then we understand it applies to other
chiddush.
Okay, no, but then the bigger chiddush is because Megadif is mentioned in that context, and Oiv is not. But once we have that, then we understand. Any other case where there's no ma'aseh, he would also say there's no chatas. Good, Oiv, there's no ma'aseh, at least not according to his definition of ma'aseh. Therefore, no chatas, same thing with Yudani. So that was our Mishnah can fit with this understanding of Rish Lakish is that according to the Chachamim, namely the mayor, you need Maiseh Rabbah. You need a major Maiseh and just talking or just waving his arms or whatever is not enough to be considered a Maiseh. Okay. Ula Omar. Ula says, here's another answer we can say about why the Rabbanon, meaning the mayor in our Mishnah, why he doesn't disagree on Oiv. So here we were saying the reason he doesn't disagree. So far we have like this. We have Rabbi Yochanan saying that in fact a person is chai of a chatas for Oiv according to everybody. The only reason why the Mishnah doesn't mention both Oiv and Yidoni is because there's only one chatas between the two of them. Rish Lakish holds that there's a separate chatas for each one. So why doesn't it mention Yidoni in the Mishnah according to him because there's no Maiseh in it? And why does Reb Meir disagree only on Oiv? Because he disagrees whether it's considered a Maiseh or not. So now Ula is saying, here's another reason why we can say Reb Meir is not disagreeing on Oiv. Why Reb Meir would agree that there's a chatas when it comes to Oiv? Because Baal Oiv Dikartani, because the Baal Oiv that the Mishnah is talking about, remember that Rambam mentioned you have a few different ways of doing Oiv, and one of them is the Mekato L'Shed, where he's offering incense to a shed in order that the shed should help him. So Maske for Rava. So Rava asks, what do you mean? In that case, that's not Kishuf and Kain Hainu Oiv Rabbi Eschuchavim. That amounts to Abba Dezara. He's offering incense to a shed, which is a power other than Hashem. That's the definition of Abba Dezara, yeah. The answer is, Rava says, okay, what we mean is not that he's offering incense to the shed as that he considers it a power, as he considers it a godly power that he's worshiping, but rather he's offering incense like to entice the shed into joining up with him and helping him in his kishur. So that's not considered Avodah Zarah, because he's not it's obviously a gateway to Avodah Zarah, which is part of what the Rambam says, why kishur is also. But nevertheless, it can't be considered Avodah Zarah, because he's not accepting the shed as a deity. It's the equivalent in a certain sense. In a certain sense, it's the equivalent of, say, going over to a person and asking him to help you. It's not Avodah Zarah or offering him a gift in order to help you or whatever. It's not Avodah Zarah to do that, obviously, right? So the same thing, asking a shed in the same way. Yeah, okay, so the same way, asking a shed and then enticing him with. Okay, Amalei Abayas. Abayas says, in that case, wouldn't that be a different issue? Imken hainu choyver chover. Wouldn't that be an issue that the Torah says in Parashas Shoftim, that you're not allowed to be choyver chover, you're not allowed to use kishuv to join things together? In that case, it's only a lot. It's only maximum malchus. There's no kodesh and no chatas in that. So why would we be saying that the oiv of our Mishnah is talking about that? Rav answers, okay, the Torah on the chover chover could go in zebra skila. Okay, the Torah says that there's different kinds of chover chover. This particular kind, where he's offering incense to a shed in order to help him in his kishuv, would be chayv skila. Other lesser kinds of chover would indeed be only allowed. The el chover chover de belav hadenu. So what would be the case of chover chover, which is only allowed and not skila and not paris? Amalaisa, Rava says, Kiditanya, like we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, V'chover chover, you have the double expression, it means, Echad chover gadol, v'echad chover katan, whether he's doing big chover or small chover, meaning Rashi says, big chover would be that he's doing incantations or whatever to bring together big animals, or chover katan we'd be doing, he's doing the same thing in order to bring together small animals, so like he's doing various kinds of spells or incantations or whatever to cause them to come together. Though that's where the lab would be. Chover chover, fine, but he's doing it involved to bring animals together. Even if he's using chover chover to bring together, let's say, snakes or scorpions, that even though they're not very important creatures, then also it's also to do that. It's also to try to bring them together by means of incantations like that. So that would be a lav, but it's not skila. But if he's doing it chover chover, that he wants to have a shed join forces with him, then already that would be, in order to help him with his kishur, that would already be chiyuv skila, Rava said. Okay. Amar Abayas, Abayas says, in this connection, by the way, ha'iman deboi l'misma dzibur v'akriva, if a person wants to do that, he wants to use a spell in order to bring together snakes and scorpions, also, then it's also to do that, so that's chover chover. On the other hand, the k'osu vasre sharim. On the other hand, if the snake or the scorpion are chasing after him, then it's mutter to do that. Then it's mutter to use a spell in order to stop them from coming after him. Now, and the reason is basically because it's the Koruch Nefesh. So it's the Koruch Nefesh. So therefore, since it's not actual of it is Arif, only Kishuv, and since it's a matter of the Koruch Nefesh, Tosfos, in fact, acts what the Fiddush is, of course, and almost anything is mutter because of the Koruch Nefesh. But this is Avodah Zarah per se. This is Avodah Zarah, so therefore it's Motzer. Right, so it's protected, so therefore that's Motzer. One point is, a certain chiddush in it is that you are allowed to do actual kishuv in order to save a person's life. You're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah, of course not, but actual kishuv, many, many posts can say you could do it in order to save a person's life. So this would be an example of that. Okay.
So exorcism?
Maybe an exorcism would be an example, I don't know, yeah. Could be. Okay. Fine. Okay. So we said before that Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing on the question of what is considered a maaser. Rish Lakish holds that the Baal Oiv waving around his arms is considered a maaser, but the Baal Yidoni is not. The Baal Yidoni way puts the bone in his mouth and then afterwards the bone, so and then the bone speaks. He's not doing a maaser, so at least not during the time of the kishuv. So therefore it's not considered a maaser. And Rish Lakish is saying the Chachamim are holding neither of those would be considered a maaser, where Rish Lakish disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Well, let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan to Amak Kfifat Kemat they have a maaser. Well, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said that the person bowing down is considered a maaser, and that's why we said that we said before when we quoted the Braisa about Avodah Zarah, that if a person bows to it, then he's chayev. And the question is, how is he chayev? There's no maaser. Rish Lakish had said, because it's Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need a Meiseh, and Rabbi Yechanan holds that Trifas Kemaseh have a Meiseh, that down is considered a Meiseh. Well then, the question is, then why is our Mishnah saying, according to the Chachamim, that Megadif is Potter? Akima Sfasiv Nehebi Meiseh, Gabi Megadif. Why by the Megadif should we not say that him moving his lips to blaspheme Hashem? According to Rabbi Yechanan, there's apparently not that much of a difference between different levels of Meiseh. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Rish Lakish isn't the one making the distinction between Meiseh Rabba and Meiseh Zuzah. Rabbi Yechanan doesn't seem to accept that distinction. So according to him, why would the Chacham say that Megadif is Potter from a Chafas? The answer is, Omar Rava, Shiny Megadif Hove Yeshne Beleh. The difference is that Megadif is something in the heart. What does that mean? We'll explain in a second. Abu Ba'alma, Akima Sfasiv Havi Maisa. Usually, Rabbi Yechanan would say the Chachamim do agree, Akima Sfasiv Havi Maisa, but Megadif is a special case. Now, what does that mean? Rashi gives two explanations over here. Rashi and the Avgilya, which I guess is also part of Rashi, I don't know. Anyway, it's bottom of the previous Amud. The first thing is that Megadif requires the person to know whom he is cursing, whom he is blaspheming. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it doesn't really matter, as long as he's bowing to a recognized Avodah Zarah. Now, we talked about yesterday, for example, a person bows down to an andarta, to a statue which wasn't made for idolatrous purposes, then if he's bowing down to a son of Avodah Zarah, unless he actually accepts it as a god. But if it's a known Avodah Zarah, he doesn't have that excuse. As opposed to Megadif requires him to be knowing that he's blaspheming Hashem.
Bowing to a Yashka would be considered Avodah Zarah?
To a, what, are you talking about a crucifix with a statue of Yashkane? Probably, I don't know. Then Rashi says in the Gilyan, Rashi says another thing, what do we mean that Megadif is belayed? Means the primary issur is that he thinks this giduf in his heart. The fact that he's speaking it out, okay, he's verbalizing the issur, but the issur already consists when he thinks such an idea of giduf in his heart, as opposed to when it comes to Avodah Zarah. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, if he doesn't bow, then the actual bowing is what makes him chayav. So therefore, so as opposed to giduf, the primary thing is that he thinks in his heart this idea of giduf, and then he just verbalizes it, right? A related idea, which some of the Farshim say is an idea that with giduf, let's say, so what is giduf? So we learned in Sanhedrin, as the person says, for example, Yaka Yosef Yosef. That one name of Hashem should strike or harm or whatever another Hashem under another name is. So let's say, for example, he takes the name Hashem and the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei or the name Elohim or whatever, and attributes it to something else. He takes something else and nicknames it Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei and says Yaka Yosi Yosi. He wouldn't be chayav. It would have to be similar to Rashi's first explanation. It has to be that he knows that he's actually speaking of Hashem. It's not that he's speaking of some other entity which he's calling by the name Hashem. As opposed to Avodah Zarah, you don't have that. The person bows down to an owner of Avodah Zarah, then yeah. Okay.
So that's the difference
between Megadif and yeah. Okay. Mosiv Rav Zeira. Okay, Rav Zeira says fine, but I have another contradiction. You're telling me that usually Akima Sfasiv Havi Meiseh, but we say over there in Sanhedrin, Yosu Edim Zomen Shein Bei Meiseh. When it talks about over there, how we know that when a person is chayev a chatas and when he's not. So as opposed to Edim Zomen, so among others, a Mesis and a Diach, Edim Zomen are not the Kohen Gadol doesn't bring a power Kohen Mashiach for them. So why is that? Because they're no Meiseh. So what do you mean? My whole peak, then. After all, there's LP that they verbalize what they're saying. Akimas Sfasiv Havi Meiseh, according to Rabbi Yechanan. Why would we say that they should be potter from? Why would we say they should be potter from a chatos or from any kind of carbon? The answer, no, of course, there's an intent. They're purposely going and saying false ages.
So what is it?
So the answer is Omar Rava Shiny Edim Zomen Hover Yeshnan Bereiya. The difference is that Edim Zomen fundamentally it depends on them seeing. And which is not a Meiseh. Seeing is not a Meiseh. Now, of course, Rishonim, beginning with the Ramban, asked the question, what do you mean they saw it? The whole point is Edim Zemin didn't see it. They didn't see it. They weren't there. That's the whole definition of Edim Zemin. There's a few different answers. One interesting one is the Rif brings a Girsa that the word is not supposed to be Beri'iya, but Be'iya. Meaning, what are we saying? Akimah thought of having Meiseh. The person moving his lips can be considered a Meiseh. But conceivably, you could have Edim that come to Beis Din, where what happens, basically interrogates one of them, and then they interrogate the other, and they see if the answers match. But they could have, for example, that Basin asks the aide, so, you know, was this person, you know, did this person do this thing? Was he Mechal al Shabbos on such and such a day, you know? And then the guy says something like, or whatever. So he doesn't even need to move his lips. So conceivably, you could have a person could be an aide Zoyman without even moving his lips. So therefore, you can't say that there's always a mice involved.
So here it says Ria.
Yeah, that's the gears that we have in front of us is Ria. But the Ria brings the gears to Be'ia instead in Sanhedrin. So whatever it is, the point is that Adam Zungman, there's not necessarily a mice involved. Another explanation that Rishonim bring is the fundamental thing is that Basin interrogates them. I mean, yeah, they came and said something, but it wouldn't be considered Adus unless Basin actually asks them, and they're speaking in front of Basin, so that can't really be considered a mice. The mice is not totally dependent on them, as opposed to, for example, bowing to Abba where it's completely dependent on him. Okay, so that's that then. It's interesting, as far as the matter of a person does oven yid oni, is he bringing one or two chatzos, the Rambam seems to imply that he would bring two, which would be like Rosh Lakish, which leads to, not like Rabbi Yechanan, which leads to a question, why? I mean, usually Rabbi Yechanan and Rosh Lakish, the halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechanan. The Mishnah of Melech, among others, has a long discussion of it. He says on the basis of there's a sugya later on in our perek on Daf Zayin that works where the Mishnah and the sugya over there works better according to Rish Lakish, and that may be a reason why that Rambam felt that over here you have to pass the Mikin. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said ha'oichol chaymas. The Mishnah had said a case where a person is chayav chasas is where he ate chaymas. So let's talk about the details of that. Turn it up on. We learned in a bright. The Pasuk says, Kol chalev sher v'kesev v'ez loisei chalev. You're not allowed to eat any chalev of an ox or a sheep or a goat. Now, why does it list all three of them? L'chayev akol achas v'achas divi Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that to tell us that a person would be chayev an individual chasas for each one of them. A person ate chalev from a sher, and chalev from a kesev, and chalev from an ez. Rabbi Shmuel says he's going to be chayev three chatos. But chamim en chayev al achas. But some say he's only going to be chayev one chatos.
How do they know that?
Well, let's figure it out. Neima b'ha kamufigi. Should we say that their argument is based on the following point? Did Rabbi Shmuel sava loikan alav shebeklolus for Rabbanan savri ein loikan alav shebeklolus? Would we say that Rabbi Shmuel says a person can get? We're not actually talking so much about the chassas. Here we're going to focus for the moment on the malchus aspect of it. So Rabbi Shmuel would say that a person cannot get malchus more than once for a lav shebeklolus, and that a person could, and that a bonon would hold that not. Now, we have to understand, there's a few different kinds of lav shebeklolus. One kind of lav shebeklolus is where the Torah tells us don't do such and such, and it actually includes a bunch of unrelated actions. Classic example of that is the Torah tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, loy sochlu al adam, do not eat on the blood, and we have a half a dozen different dinim that we learn from that are all unrelated one to another. So that's one example of lav shebeklolus. Then you have another type of lav shebeklolus where the Torah tells us, don't do this, this, or this. Is that considered a separate lavim and therefore separate malchus for each one, or is it considered one lav and therefore only one malchus? Uh-huh. So should we say, here it says, you have one loy over there, and with three details, kol chelev sher v'kesev v'ez loisei chelu. So would that mean, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that a person gets separate malchus for each detail within that, so one for sure, one for kesef, one for eight. So even though there's only one loy, and the rabbanon would hold that not. So should we say that that's the case? So Gemara says no. Lo olam sover Rabbi Shmuel ein loykan alav shebeklolus. No, usually Rabbi Shmuel would hold that not. Usually when the Torah tells us don't do this or this, then a person's only going to have one malchus for it. The shiny hocha, but Rabbi Shmuel would say, here is a special case, demiyatri leikroi, because Rabbi Shmuel would say the whole list in the pasuk is extra. Nichtiv kro ko chelev loisei chelev, the pasuk could have just said, don't eat any chelev. Shur v'kesev v'ez lomali, why does it have to mention the three types of animals? Shmamin alachalek, therefore Rabbi Shmuel says, obviously, by that the Torah must be telling us, each one has its own separate chiyuv. V'rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They say, of course it has to say the list. E loiksiv shur v'ketiv v'ez. Yeah, but if it didn't say shur v'ketiv v'ez, hava minafi lo chelev chayev v'mashma. You would think chelev of a wild animal, of a deer or gazelle or whatever, would also be also. V'hochi kotiv shur v'ketiv v'ez. Lememra, the chelev shur v'ketiv v'ez would also. to tell us, yeah, to tell us that only from Shur and Ketiv and Ezer and Osir, Abba b'chaya shari, but chayla from achaya is mutter. So of course it has to say it. So you can't say that the list is there l'chalim. The list is there, because otherwise you wouldn't know what type of chayla is also and what's not. Okay, the Gemara says... Okay, so that's okay, maybe, but okay. So the question is, sometimes they're behemoth, sometimes they're chai of a chal behemoth. We learned in Cholin that sometimes when the Torah says behemoth, it includes chaya as well. So even if it said kol chayla behemoth, we wouldn't necessarily know that it's meant to exclude chaya. Okay, so the question is, shafir pam rabbi. The Rabbanan have a very good answer against Rabbi Shmuel. What is he going to answer to that? What is he going to say? Why that? Yes. And now, Ela hainu time of the Rabbi Shmuel. Rather, we can say like this. Rabbi Shmuel's reason is like this. Dikasavar, he would say like this. Fine, I understand the Torah had to mention a detail because otherwise we would think that Chelav Chaya is also as well. But im kein lichtiv kol Chelav Shur lo yitechelav. It's just that to say, then you can't eat the Chelav of a Shur. Kesev is, and then we would know that it doesn't apply to domestic, that it doesn't apply to wild animals. Shur is a domestic animal. Kesev is lomali, so why does it have to continue with the rest of the list, the sheep and the goat? Obviously, shmamin alachalit. So obviously, therefore it must be lachalit. Verabon.
It says sure. How could you use sure? You'd know the domestic animals, but you wouldn't know that it's son and the animal.
1 second. Verabon, I'm sorry, Verabon would answer. E kotzer rachmana, kol chelav shur. Actually, if the Torah had written only chelav shur, it would be the other way around. Habamina, nelav shur misinai. Just the opposite. We would think to make Zeta Shava on the word shur from the shur mentioned by Har Sinai, where it says that, where it says by Har Sinai means by the Aseret HaDibros, the Shabbos actually it says on the side, meaning in other words that in the Aseret HaDibros, it says, or not in the Aseret HaDibros actually, a little later in Parashas Mishpatim, it says you have to keep Shabbos, l'man yonuach shurcha, in order that your shur should be able to rest on Shabbos. So therefore, and we learn from that, we learn Gzeira Shava to various other places, but that ma gabesine chaya ba'oifkaya today. And now over there, when it comes to Shabbos, it's not only the shur that has to rest on Shabbos. Any wild animals that you have working for you, any birds that you have working for you also have to rest on Shabbos. In Bava Kamma, there's actually a number of dinim that we learn from this Gzeira Shava. We learn from that also, for example, that when the Torah talks about a shur that gores somebody and kills him, that the same rule applies not only to a shur, but to all types of domestic and wild animals and birds, and so forth. So we learn that all from Shur. So you would have thought that it applies to Chelev as well. Af gabe achila chayev oiv kayotadan. Lahachi kosev rachmona shur b'kesev v'ez. Therefore, say the Chachamim, the Torah had to write shur b'kesev v'ez, l'memra dahani de'osir, to tell us, only those are osir, av chayev oiv shur yishaper. To tell us, in other words, don't use that kavachomer from Shur. Not kavachomer, zera shava from Shur. Now, a number of the Achronim ask the question, the Birpas HaZevach, the Be'er Sheva ask the question, we know that ain't none of them done Zeta Shava Me'achla. You can't make up your own Zeta Shava anyway. How would we think to make Zeta Shava that doesn't actually exist? And the answer is because the Zeta Shava from Shur does exist. Again, we do learn a number of dinim from it. For example, the concept that any kind of animal that kills a person is chayav misa, the concept that any type of animal has to rest on Shabbos, etc. So therefore, we would think that we would apply the Kavah Chaimah to this also. The Zeta Shava to this also. So therefore, the Chacham would say, can't you say sure, otherwise we would mistakenly think to apply the Gzera Shava, your turn. Okay. So the question is, so we're back to the question on Rabbi Shmuel. Shafir Kamile, knew the Chachamim have a very good answer against Rabbi Shmuel. How can he say that sure the Kesev V'Ez is teaching us L'chalik? No, Ela Hainu Taimu. The Chachamim say it's there in order to teach us, not to use a Gzera Shava that doesn't belong. So what would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? Okay, Ela Hainu Taimu. Rather, we can say Rabbi Shmuel's reason why he says that a person is high of Malkus separately for each one, because he says, okay, so the Torah didn't have to mention Shur. It could have mentioned only Kesev. It could have mentioned only Ez. And we would understand by a Mamatzinu that it applies to the other ones as well. Shur, Kesev, Ez, Lomali. Why does it mention all three of them? Shmamina Lachalik. Obviously, it must be to divide and tell us that each one is a separate Chiyuv Malkus. Okay, the Rabbanan, what did the Rabbanan answer? The Rabbanan Sabri, the Rabbanan, what do they hold in answer to that? They say like this, E kosav kol chelav kesev, Yes, but if it said kol chelav kesev habamini, then you would think actually it means only chelav kesev also. Maybe only the chelav of a sheep is also. The shove is chori. Maybe indeed the chelav of an ox or a goat would be mutter. Maybe you wouldn't do a mamakinu. The chitema my ume de kesev. So you would ask, what's any stronger about a kesev than any of the others that you would think that the din applies only to it? You would say, you would say, because a kesev has something unique over the other two species, namely that when it comes to the fat of it that are offered on the mizbeach, also the alya, also the fat tail of it is offered. So you would say, because of that, because it has that chumra that you have to offer also the fat tail on the mizbeach, therefore also the Torah is machmer and that you can't eat the chelev of it. But maybe you could eat the chelev of a mishur and ace.
You don't have to offer the alya of a mishur.
Well, yeah, and you have, not only a kesev. What it is there's a certain breed of sheep. There's a certain breed of sheep in that part of the world where the same way as you have, for example, camels store fat in their humps. The same way this breed of sheep store extra fat in their tail, for lean times or whatever. But the point is, it's a fatty piece of the animal, and the Torah says you have to offer it on the mizbeach, as opposed to a shur and an aze don't have that. He would argue, therefore, that if the Torah had only said keves, then he would say that's only a keves. You're also to eat the chelev. V'chidatana Rav Hananya. Like Rav Hananya, in fact, says in a braisa, in a different context, Lama mono akosev emurin b'shor v'emurin b'kesev emurin b'ez. Why does the Torah list out separately the emurin by an ox and by a sheep and by a goat? D'chtiv ach b'chor shor v'gomer. Namely, the Torah says by a b'chor, it says the b'chor of an ox or the b'chor of a sheep or the b'chor of a goat are all kodesh, and you have to burn their fat on the mizbeach. Why doesn't it just say a b'chor? You have to burn a fat on them as well. And the reason is, he says, tzrichi, because it's so that we need to say all of them. The ikot of shur, if it only wrote shur, havam in a kesev ve'ez lo yafin in minay, you would say maybe the same rule does not apply to kesev and ez, that you don't have to burn their fat on them as well. Because you could say, sure, you could slug it up. If you tried to compare them by mamasinu, you would slug it up. Mala shur shekin nisyabim nisachim. Where a shur has something special. It has extra nisachim more than any other type of animal. So therefore, maybe the Torah is machmer and they have to burn its chayim.
What kind of extra nisachim?
Extra flour, extra wine, extra oil. Okay, nicht rechmona bekeves v'neil of shur v'ez mekesev. So you could say in that case the Torah could have written only the sheep, and we would learn the other two from that. Can't. Ikala mifrach mala kesev shekein nisrava ba'alya. As we just said before, sheep has a unique feature of the ba'alya to be offered on the mizbeach. None of the other ones do. Nicht rechmona ez v'neil of shur v'kesev v'nei. Should we say the Torah could have written only ez, only goat, and we would have written the other two? Can't. Doesn't work either. Ikala mifrach, because you could slog that up. Mala ez shekein nisrava eitzel avodah kechavim. Because a goat has the unique feature that when it comes to a korban for avodah zarah, usually when a person is over on one of the isurim from our Mishnah where they have to bring a chatas, usually they have a choice of bringing a sheep or a goat. But when they were over on avodah zarah b'shogeg, it has to be a goat. So a goat has that unique feature that neither of the other ones have. Right? Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, fine. Min chad lo yofin. So you need each of all of them. Okay, the question is, min chad lo yofin. Fine, we can't learn from any one of them individually, because we said each one has its own unique feature. Nichtiv tauti v'nele chodim tauti. So fine, let it mention only two of them, and we would use a tzad ha-shava. We would derive the third one by a tzad ha-shava. Can't, the Gemara says, because hey dein nele. Which one do you want to learn? Sherb of miketaveh. We're going to go through all the three possibilities.
Yeah.
Do we want to learn? Do we want that it should say kesef and aiz, and we'll learn shur from it? Can't. If lohin pircha, we could slug off that comparison. Malak kesef ve'ez shekin nisrav away for pesach. Because a kesef and aiz have the unique feature only they can be used for the korban pesach. You can't use an ox for a korban pesach. Lohin nichtav.
Can you use an aiz and a
kesef? Yeah, you can use a sheep or a goat for a korban pesach. No, it can be a goat also. Should we say it shouldn't have written the sheep, and we would learn it from the comparison from the Fadashava of the sheep and of the goat and then the ox? No. If lohin pircha, again, mala shurva eiz, shekin nisrava eitzel avodah kechavim. When it comes to avodah zarah, again, yochid has to be a goat. The tzibur, if they have the same situation, we're based in paskin that a certain type of avodah zarah is mutter, and most of the tzibur followed, and as we learned in the Sefer Horius, they bring a par. Actually, they bring a par and a sire. So therefore, so we see that only par and sire are used in connection with avodah zarah. Keves is not. So you can't learn keves from the other two. Should we say Should we say it shouldn't have to write A's as a goat, and we'll learn it from the combination of Shur and Kesev? So we can slog that up also. Because both the Shur and the Kesev have something extra that goes on the Mizbeach. In the case of the Shur, you have extra Nesvachim. In the case of the Kesev, you have the extra tail. But in the case of the A's, you have neither one. Therefore, Hilkach lo yalfim adadi. So you can't learn one from the other. So the Torah has to mention all three of them when it comes to burning the chaylev on the Mizbeach. So when it comes to Bechor, it has to mention them separately. Right. And when it comes to chaylev, the issue of chaylev, it also has to mention each one separately. So therefore, you can't say that it's mentioning them separately to say that there should be a separate malchus for each one. Okay, again, the question is, Shaper family, knew the Chachamim have a very good point. What would Rabbi Shmuel answer to that? This point that we just said, that they have to say Shur, Kesev, and Eis. There's no other way. Now, let's go back to our original explanation of Rabbi Shmuel's reason that we said at the beginning, the Torah could have just said Kochelav Lo'Sechelu, and we would understand that. Well, we don't discard it. In other words, we're saying Rabbi Shmuel can't argue with that logic. Right. So he has to have a different reason why he says that it doesn't need to say Shur V'Kesev. Okay. So the answer is that we're going to go back to our original assumption that it could have just said Kochelav, V'Lishtoik, and then the Torah could have stopped it. My Amr. So what did you answer to that? At the beginning of the Sugya, we said the problem with that is high the cost of Shur V'Kesev A's, L'Mishri Chelav Chaya. You would say, we said before that the reason it has to say Shur V'Kesev A's is because otherwise you would think Chelav Chaya is answer. You don't need that. Ha ki cost of Krab in Yonet Kodshim. Where is this pasuk about not eating Chelav? What's the context of it? Is the context in connection with Kodshim. V'Dover Lomit Min Yonet. So we can learn from context, automatically from context. Therefore, we would know that the chaylev it's talking about is only chaylev of animals that could be offered as a carbon.
Why?
That's Dovah Alam and Minyane. We learn something from that. We learn a detail of a din from the context in which it's mentioned. Since the issue of kol chaylev is in Parshas Tzav in connection with the korbanos, Rabbi Shmuel would argue automatically we would know it applies only to the type of animal. A chaya can't be offered as a carbon, right? So the question is, the kol did Rabbanon stop it?
Since the union of Chelev is only...
Is in connection with the Korbanos. Is in the context of talking about Korbanos. Right. Okay, so new, where is the Mekhlal Drab... The Mekhlal Drab on Sabri Loyof and Endover Lamim Yoni. So what are the Chacham novel of that? It's one of the Yud Gimel Midot. They have to agree with it. No. Ella... The Kulei Alma Yafin and Dover Alamim Yoni. No, of course everybody agrees Dover Alamim Yoni. So what's the Mekhlal? The machlokas is as follows. Rabbi Shmuel says like this. L'meidin lav mi lav. You can always learn one type of lav from another type of, you can always learn dinim from one lav to another. Bein mi lav or bein mi lav dekores. Whether it's a regular lav that's only chayav malchus or whether it's a lav that's chayav koris. Namely, Jakol Chelav Shur V'Kesev Me'ez, Milav D'Chukas Olam L'Derecheichem B'Chol Meshvecheichem Kol Chelav B'Chol Dom L'Sechelu, D'Chtiv Ben Yonah D'Kodshim. This that was saying that you can't eat any Chelav, you have a lav over there where it says it's an eternal law for all your generations, everywhere where you live, you're not allowed to eat Chelav and Dam, which is D'Chtiv Ben Yonah D'Kodshim, which is written in the context of Kodshim. Over Kodshim lo isbahin chaya. In Kodshim, there are never any wild animals brought as chayas. By the way, this whole part in parenthesis, these couple of lines, Rashi takes it out. That's why in some parenthesis. Rashi says that the whole thing was added by the whole thing was added by a Talmud Toya over here. Gives us a rock. So as far as he says, Mishubeshes. There's a mistake in it. Parshanim Toyin, who didn't really understand the sugya, So Rashi's Girsa says just the argument is that can you learn one lav from another, or can you learn also lav from Kores? The point is, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel would say that when we say Dover Alam Minyanai, it applies whether we're talking about, when we say Dover Alam Minyanai, Rabbi Shmuel would say that is true whether we're talking about two lavim that where one is an Issur Kores and the other not. So therefore, even though chaylev is an issur kares, you can learn it from the context over there of the other lavim. and the Rabbanan hold that not. So that when do you say Dava Alam Minyanai would be where they're both lavin that are not chayiv karis. So you can't learn a lav that's chayiv karis, such as even chaylev, from a lav that's not chayiv karis. So there's okay, so but anyway, we still have it printed in the Gemara over here, and Rabbi Gershon has it. So, well, the Kodshim lo is behind Chaya. Now, in Kodshim, there are never any wild animals brought as korbanos. Ach kol chaylev shor kiksiv leim summer. So, therefore, when it says kol chaylev shor, when it says kol chaylev shor, even if it just said it generically without using the word shor, lekol asapoki b'chaya, Rabbi Shmuel would say there's no possibility that could mean a chaya, because it's in context of korbanos, which is talking about behemoths. Yeah, as you said, therefore the shur of a ketzav eiz must be to divide it, meaning that there's a separate isur, that there's a separate malchus for each one. So we would learn the lav that you're not allowed to eat chaylev, and the lav on which it says chukas olam deresecha, you're not allowed to eat chaylev or blood, we would learn that from the kares that it says of kikol oichol chaylev min abehema asher yakrivu mimena, where the pasuk says anybody who eats chaylev from an animal that they will offer maha hu lachalik afadein lachalik. So just like over there that they've come into me lachalik, so also over here. In other words, since by kares it mentions behema, so therefore by the lav we would also know it refers only to behemoth, and therefore the word shor v'ketzev a'ez would be coming to the mechalik. The Rabbanon lav mi lav yofinim. The Rabbanon would say we can learn one lav from another, lav mi kores lo yofinim, but you can't learn that, you can't learn the scope of the lav from the scope of what it says kores about, that a person eats chaylev from an animal which you can offer as a korb and then he gets kores, which would imply that's only animals that can be brought as korb on us. The Rabbanon say you can't do that, that's not dava alam minyan.
It has to be the same type of thing, the same type of lav.
Yeah. So therefore, that Rabbanan would hold that the words shor v'ketzev v'eiz are not extra in the pasuk. We need them because otherwise we wouldn't know if the lav and the malchus apply only to shor v'ketzev v'eiz. And Rabbi Shmuel would say we know that from the context because it mentions kares over there only by name.
The
Rabbanan would say you can't learn lav from kares. Okay. So that's one possibility. The boisema, another possibility, hainu tamayu de rabbanon, the reason that the rabbanon says the words shur, v'ketzev, v'eiz are extra, and therefore they're not, are needed in the pasuk, and therefore they're not mechalik, is kid'omalei ramori l'rav zvid, is like what ramori asked Rav Zvid as follows. He said, given that among the emurim of a sheep is the tail, as we said, that's offered on the mezbeach, by that logic, alya de cholin tistar. Shouldn't the alya of a cholin sheep also be also to eat? Isn't the general rule that anything that's offered on the mizbeach is also to eat? If the alya is considered part of the chaylev, and in fact the pasuk calls it chel by ha'alya tmina, so it should be also to eat as chaylev. Amarlei, and Rav Zvid answered him, no, alecha amakra, to answer your question, the pasuk specifically says, kol chaylev shor v'ketzev v'eiz, meaning, dava hashava b'shloshen v'inan, meaning, what is the definition of chaylev? Only something where you find anatomically similar in all three animals. V'lecha, and you don't, because the alya is only in sheep. But Hilkach, so therefore the Chachamim would say we could use that logic. We don't have to say that we don't learn a lav from Kares. Maybe we could learn lav from Kares. But in this case, the words shor v'ketzev v'eiz are meant to teach us what is considered chaylev and what is not. The alya is not considered chaylev. Hilkach ki also shor v'ketzev v'eiz l'mishrei alya d'cholon hudase. It comes to teach us that the alya of a cholon animal is mutter. So therefore, shor v'ketzev v'eiz are not extra, and therefore it's not a chal. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel.
No,
right. So Rabbi Shmuel, Amalach, so what would Rabbi Shmuel answer you? How does he learn the alya of a cholin animal as mutter? He said, in Cain, if that's all the pasuk wanted to tell us, le makruch or chelav shur v'kesev, then the pasuk could have just mentioned the shur and the kesev. Eiz lomali, why does that have to mention the goat? Because after all, it could have just mentioned shur and kesev. So we would understand that a shur doesn't have an alya, a keves does, a kesev does. And we're saying both because the shur doesn't have an alya, therefore it's mutter. And we would understand the same thing would apply to an ayz. Ayz lomali, so he says, why would I need to say goat in the pasuk also, which doesn't have an alya either? Shmamin olachalik, that must mean that's coming lachalik.
Otherwise you would have
thought that, in other words, yeah, so it could have just said shur and kesed, and we would have derived once we know, if that's all the pasuk wants to tell us, that any features, such as an alya, which you have only in one and not in the other, is not considered chaylev. Okay, so then fine, a shur and a kesev. There you have one has, one doesn't. And there you go. Then you don't need A's for that purpose. So therefore, if it doesn't mention A's, then it must be L'chal, says Rav Shmuel. Fine. So that's all as far as Malchus. Amar Rav Chanina, Moedir Rav Shmuel, the Indian Kurban. Now Rav Shmuel will agree when it comes to a Kurban, if a person ate Chalev from a Shur and from a Kesed and from an A's, he will agree Shein maybe a L'chatas Achas, that he still was only going to be bringing one Chal. My timer, why is that? Everybody agrees. Rav Shmuel would agree also. Because the lav, this lav of Shur v'Kesev v'Eiz, is not like the lav, is not like the lav of Arayas. The lav of Arayas, you have an individual lav for each one. A lav for the sister, a lav for the mother, a lav for the daughter-in-law, etc. So therefore, it's not like over here where you have one lav that covers three different things. Fine. More on this topic of eating chaylev. Tana Rabba. The pasuk says that we quoted yesterday a braisa that mentions the pasuk va'asa achas mehena. So now again, it doesn't have to say achas mehena. Actually, it says if a person does may achas mehena, va'asa may achas mehena, a person does from one from these.
You don't need that.
So what does it mean? Yeah, what does it mean? One from these.
It should say achas mehena.
It could have said va'asa achas or whatever. Oh yeah. So va'asa achas va'asa hena. The pasuk therefore can be understood to mean that he did one or that he did these, meaning l'chayev al kol achas v'achas, meaning that even if he did one type of iser, but there can be a case where he's chayev individually for each action of iser. Shim ocho chaylev v'chaylev. Suppose he ate two different kinds of chaylev, two kevesim of chaylev. It depends. Shem echad, if they're all under one name, and Rashi understands that one name means, for example, you have. Now, we know there's different types of chaylev in an animal, as we learned in Cholin. You have, for example, the fat on the kidneys is chaylev. You have the fat on certain parts of the flanks of the animal is another. You have part of the fat on the intestines or whatever. All of them are chaylev, but each one is chaylev from a different part of the body.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If a person ate two kezesim of chaylev, shem echad, and they were both one name, for example, he ate two kezesim of kidney fat, the shnei ha'alemis, but it was in two periods of unknowing, so he didn't know that chaylev of kidneys is also, and he ate a kezesim of it. Then later on he found out. Later on he again didn't know that it's also, and he ate another one. Chayev shtayim, then he's chayev two chatois, but shtei shemus behelamah, and also shtei shemus behelamah. That's also if there are two different types. For example, he ate from the kidney and he ate from the intestines, behelamah, and it was all in one period of unknowing. Also chayev shtayim, and he's also chayev two chatois. So
why there was just one period?
Because of the two shemus, because there were two different types of chayev.
But
did
you know? For instance,
you
don't know Shabbos.
Okay, so that's what we have to figure out. I can understand why, if it was even one type, but it was two halemis, why is chayev twice? Because mishum the halemis machalkin, each time when he didn't know is a separate period. Why should he be chayev two chatois? Habayin and halemis machlokin v'lecha. Don't you need a different halem for each chiyuv chatos and you don't have? It's all one isur chaylev. Why should he be chayev two chatois? Amalei, so Rav Chista answers him, we're actually not talking about where you eat two different pieces of chaylev. What we mean is, hachab mayaskin is going to offer chaylev denoiser. Suppose that he ate chaylev of which chaylev that was also noiser. Mishayev mishum noiser or mishum chaylev. So he's chayev twice, one because he ate noiser and one because he ate chaylev. So it was all the same piece, but therefore two different isurim. Amalei, but Rami Mahama asked, in kein nechayev nami mishum kodesh, then in that case you should be chayev three chatois, because if it's noiser, by definition it's kodesh, so therefore you should be chayev, because he ate kodesh, which was, he should be chayev an osham me'ilois, he should be chayev an asham me'ilois, for being moil behedish, because he used something of hechdish that he wasn't supposed to, plus two chatois. Yeah, that's me'ilois.
Even by...
B'shoigim. Well, usually me'ilah is b'shoigim. Ela, omen of sheshes, no, of sheshes answers, you're going to ochel chaylev de hechtish. Okay, not that it was noiser. Let's say he ate chaylev of hechtish. So it's not a sham me'ilah. He ate chaylev of kodesh, and we're going to say that he's high of two chatois, for reasons that we're going to say in a second. We're not dealing over here with the Asham Ne'ilas. We're saying like this, that Rabbi Yehuda, this would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, The Tanya, ocho chelev nevela, if a person ate chelev of a nevela animal, or ocho chelev mukdashin, or a person ate chelev from an animal of that was brought on a carbon, chayev shtayim, so he's chayev two, he's chayev in the case of malchus, he'd be chayev two malchus, one because of chelev and one because of nevela, or in the case of kodshim, one chelev and one zarus, because he's a zara. Rabbi Huda, I'm a chelev mukdashin, like a shalish. And Rabbi Huda says that if he was chelev of kodshim, then he's getting three. Because two because of chelev and one because of zarus. So as the Gemara is going to explain soon why would there be two isurim of chelev? Why would there be two things of chelev if it was only he ate chelev? Why, yeah. Okay, so that was Rav Sheshet's answer that we're talking about is chelev ochemish. However, mechaychu alav ma'arava, they lacked this explanation in Eretz Yisrael. Why do you have to understand that it's only according to Rav Yehuda, and that we're talking about that it was chelev ochemish? The noikma for when the chelev is sher v'ketaveis. Why don't you say more simply that the case where a person can be chay of multiple chatois for separate because they said that you didn't need to go to such a judge. You could have answered that we're talking about chelev of shur and of cast of animes, but Rabbi Shmuel he drama like a sholish. We just said before that Rabbi Shmuel would say that a person can be high of three malchus from it. So therefore all you need is that each piece of chelev came from a different animal. So the answer is that obviously they didn't understand that that could be like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amr of Chanina, Mordechai Rabbi Shmuel, in Korban, Shanechai, Balachatasachas. So we said before, Rabbi Chanina had said that Rabbi Shmuel would agree that when it comes to chatas, the person is only bringing one chatas for eating the three different types of chelev, not two. Well, then the question is, Hashtanami to Rabbi Yehuda, Lemit Taikma. Well, in that case, then it shouldn't work to say that it's a coin to Rabbi Yehuda either. Da Amr Rabbi Eliezer, or Rabbi Lazar really, Moidahai Rabbi Yehuda l'inim korban sheni maybe ala chatas achas. Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that when it comes to chatas, a person is only bringing one chatas. So what are you telling me before that there's a case we could say according to Rabbi Yehuda that you bring two or three chatas? Why? He's saying that you'd only bring one. You wouldn't have separate chatas for the different isurim of chelev. And here we go. Ella, Amr Shlokish, Mishum Bar Tutni, Hocha, Maya Skinen, Gunsha Ochon Bishnei Tamchoyin. Rather, says Rishlokish, we have to be talking about over here, why is he chayav a separate chafas for each piece of chaylev, not because they're different types of chaylev, but because he ate them in two different plates. So Rashi explains, it means, in other words, like prepared in two different ways. That would be according to Rabbi Yeshua. We're going to have later on in our Masechta that Rabbi Yeshua holds, even if a person ate two of the same type of chelev, and even if it was behelam echad, but if each one was in a different dish, meaning they were prepared in different ways or whatever, Rabbi Yeshua would hold that he's chayav twice. So that's what we're talking about over here. Why is he chayav twice for the chelev? Because they were in shnei tamchoyim. But it does, because each one was paired with like a different kind of dish. And therefore, we're going to learn later on. Nonetheless, that's how Rabbi Yeshua holds. And we're actually going to have a Mishnah over there. We're actually going to have a Mishnah over there with a discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua on that topic. So we'll get to it. It's on Dr. Svav, Baruch Hashem. So, but that's how it is. That Rabbi Yeshua holds that there's a separate chatos, there's a separate chiyuv for each tamchoi. So therefore, that would be the case. Therefore, that you have so the same chaylev, yeah, as long as it was each one on kazayin. Yeah. So even though it all came from the same animal, and even though it all came from the same part of the body, yeah.